The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
A reading from Luke 5, verses 12 to 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. This is the word of God. Please be seated.
We continue our study of the Gospel of Luke, and we look and meet this leper and our Lord this morning, and as we do that, we will see ourselves, we will see our Savior, and let's pray to that end. Our Lord, we pray and ask for that very thing, that you would help us to see who we are, to be humbled, to be honest, and to see who you are, and to be overwhelmed and amazed, thankful. Lord, we ask that for all in this room, that we would all sense and understand the touch of Jesus, the healing touch of Christ, that we would understand that today, and we would worship you. So Lord, come and feed us, your people. We are hungry, and we are ready to receive your word. So come, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to tell you about a man named Vinicio Riva. 8 years ago, an image of him surfaced throughout the world and spread all around the world. A 53-year-old man at that time, suffering from a non-infectious genetic disease called neurofibromatosis type 1. What that meant for him is he was left completely covered from head to toe with growths, swellings, and itchy sores. He was disfigured and deformed. He lived a life accustomed to the unkindness of strangers. He knew when he would get on the public bus in his northern Italian town that passengers would often tell him to go away, to not sit by them. He lived a life of rejection. But in 2013, a moving photo was captured of Vinicio, and it included another that is known throughout the world, Pope Francis. Instead of shying away from the man's tumor-covered face, Pope Francis took the man's face and kissed it. His Aunt Caterina, who brought Vinicio to the Pope's visit, reflected, When the Pope came near to us, I thought he would give me his hand. Instead, he went straight to Vinicio and embraced him tightly. I thought he wasn't going to give him back to me, she said. Why was the world so moved by this image? I think it struck something deep in all of us. The Pope, a priest, a minister, as we are in a sense representatives of God, that a representative of God to many throughout the world would touch the untouchable, and it led people throughout the world, I believe, deep in their soul to ask, is that what God might be like? Kissing the face of the untouchable. In this text, just after appointing his disciples, Jesus, not a mere representative of God, but God in the flesh, does the unthinkable to an untouchable. And he does this so that we may know indeed with certainty what God is like. He is compassionate, merciful and gracious to the little and the least and the overlooked and the unlovely and the untouchable and the unclean. And that is the good news of the gospel. You see first the leper's desperate request. I want to describe his desperation, apply it, and then hear his desperation. Consider his desperation described. The text tells us in verse 12 that he was full of leprosy. It's an emphasis in the original to draw your attention to. He has not only leprosy, which was awful, he has a very bad case of it. This man, in his desperation, is an ostracized, hopeless outcast. That's who he is. The leper suffered from the ravages of the disease itself, but consider all the more the personal, emotional, relational devastation. It's actually quite hard to imagine, for a leper became unclean. They were regarded as unfit for society. In Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 through 46, it says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Imagine that's your life. Rabbinical literature says they were considered so dangerous that one rabbi writes, "If a leper stands under a tree and a clean man passes him by, the latter becomes unclean." He was an outcast. Ostracized, marginalized, he was consigned, as it were, to a living death. Lepers were known as dead men walking. He didn't have the blessings of a common life. He didn't have the blessings of family life, the company of friends, or the privileges of employment. He was excluded. He was excluded from the holy city. He was excluded from the temple. He was excluded from any walled city. He was quarantined to the outside of the community. And if he crossed the boundaries of exile, he could be stoned. And he was hopeless. Cleansing for a leper was equivalent to the raising of the dead in these moments. It's why Aaron says this in Numbers chapter 12 to Moses of Miriam, who was leprous like snow. He says, "Let her not be as one dead." Leprosy was considered equivalent to death. So you see this man's desperation. an ostracized, hopeless, excluded outcast, unclean. And now desperation applied. We're all spiritual lepers. That's who we are, left to ourselves. When we sinned, we had to get out. We couldn't come back in. It was guarded with a sword. We were put outside the camp, as it were. We are unclean, thus all the laws and the regulations and the sacrifices. And it is catastrophic. The leprosy of sin affects us emotionally and relationally, vocationally. It affects every area of our life, and left to ourselves, we have much in common with the leper. Like the leper, sin leaves our lives spoiled, ruin, misery. Well, you may say, well, what makes you say such a thing, Pastor? Jesus? When he said in Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. That's what makes us unclean. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Humans are full of leprous sin. We are ostracized from one another, from God, from even ourselves as designed by God. And we as lepers know that if we are to be rescued, cleaned, it would have to come from the outside of us. That there's no way that I can cleanse myself. There's no way that I can get rid of this awful stain. So what are we to do? We're to do what this leper does. Hear his words. An absolutely perfect and gorgeous description of faith in his words. Because faith is a humble, confident boldness. And listen to him. First in verse 12, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him. Now, he is so bold that he risked stoning by approaching those who would have been known as clean. See, faith has a boldness. It has a scandalous approach, as it were, that we just sang of. Bold I approach the throne. But there's a reason for that boldness. It's because of who we approach. And he knows it, and he says, Lord. Do you see the humility? Surrender, the bowing down, the acknowledgement of who Jesus is with reverence. And then with more humility, he says, if you will. More humility, saying, I am in no position to place demands upon you. I am in no position to presume upon you. But I trust in who you are. And so I ask, if you will, you can. Is that not the cry of faith? Lord, if you will, you can. He honors Jesus' power. He understands his lack of healing has nothing to do with Jesus' ability, but is all about Jesus' will. He comes humble, confident in who the Lord is, and with a boldness in who he begs before. That is the nature of faith. We need in our lives, as those continually battling sin, we need in our lives to have more of that. That the mark of our lives would be in everywhere we go, Lord, if you will, you can. Lord, if you will, you can. That's faith. And that's what the leper offers to us. And then you see the Lord's powerful reach. And that reach reveals his compassion and his cleansing and his competence. First, consider Jesus' compassion with this reach. And Jesus, verse 13, stretched out his hand and touched him. You probably could have heard the audible gasps of the disciples. He touched him, saying, I will be clean. That will knock your socks off. Just that phrase of Jesus with his hand on the untouchable. You see his compassion. And understand this, he doesn't heal only with a pronouncement, but with a touch. Now, just next week, we're going to see him heal with a pronouncement when he heals the paralytic and he says, I say, take your mat, get up and walk. Jesus didn't have to touch him. Touching was not necessary for Jesus to heal this man. So why did he touch him? When was the last time this man had been touched? The power of human touch is in our createdness. God made us that way. Thus, even the angst of these last years. The absence of human touch. I mean, research recently showed the transforming power of touch as it did research on celebratory touches among pro basketball players. It researched the following. This is true. Fist bumps, high fives, chest bumps, leaping shoulder bumps, chest punches, head slaps, head grabs, low fives, high fives, full hugs, half hugs, team huddles. Here's what they discovered. The players who touched one another a lot did better than those players who didn't. And tomorrow night, I'm hoping for a whole lot of touch among Georgia. That's a side issue. What the research found is that touch actually lowers stress. It builds morale. It produces triumph. A chest bump actually instructs cooperation. A half hug is compassion. That we were made for touch is what that research found. And that's why Jesus touched him. Because he made him. And he knew that the man didn't just need a word. He needed a touch. And as Dale Bruner says so beautifully, the gospel is in that grasp. The gospel is displayed in the grasp of Jesus of the untouchable. And this is what the compassion of Jesus tells us, that he comes for the whole person. He not only physically heals, he not only spiritually heals, he comes to heal us emotionally and relationally. His touch has an emotional, relational healing upon that desperate, ostracized outcast. He didn't have to touch him. He wanted to show us who he is and what he does. And what he does is he touches our lives to heal it in every single area. Christianity is not exclusively spiritual. It brings hope and healing through Jesus to every dimension of our lives. And thus he touches. And with one word in Greek, katharisai, where we get our English word catharsis, Jesus says, holistic healing catharsis is yours. I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus' reach not only reveals his compassion, but it reveals his cleansing. You see, you might ask, and some you would be right to ask based on Leviticus 5:3, But if he touches, it says, if he touches human uncleanness or whatever sort the uncleanness may be, with one which one becomes unclean as it is hidden from him, when he comes to know it and realizes his guilt, is speaking of the clean person who touches the unclean, that they are now unclean. Would have to go offer offerings and sacrifices and quarantine. So the question of the text is, at this point, did Jesus just become unclean? Did Jesus just take on guilt? No. Jesus just fulfilled the law. Don't forget, the purpose of the law was cleansing. Jesus just went above the law and did all the more for cleansing. He wasn't contaminated by the sinner. No, in fact, reaching out to the leper, Jesus is demonstrating the way in which his kingdom comes. It is almost as if Jesus is saying to the leper this, I am prepared to become like you, a man under curse, a man under judgment, in order that you might become like me in all the freedom and all the forgiveness that I provide. For Jesus would just in a few moments later say, I haven't come to call religious people to put together a religious club. I've come to call sinners to repentance. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And he reveals, I'm going to take your curse so I can give you my wealth and cleanliness. And thus with the hymn writer, we rejoice that bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The compassionate, cleansing Savior who is fully competent with all power. There is only one instance in the Old Testament where a leper is healed. It's with Naaman and Elisha. And if you'll remember, Elisha doesn't go near. He just gives instructions. But this one, Jesus, comes near and does what people would have thought was as miraculous as raising the dead. And in doing this, he teaches us of his utter competence, his utter power to rescue those who cannot rescue themselves. With this touch and with this word, and because of that, I can assure you this morning that if you cry out as one who knows your desperate and hopeless condition, and in faith you say to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can. Based on the character and the compassion and the cleansing and the competence of Jesus, if you come before him as leprous of sin, you will hear him say, I am willing, be clean. If you've never begged, if you've never bowed, if you've never faced your condition, come to him. If you're willing, you can. There's then some surprising reactions from this. The first one is, Jesus says, verse 14, and he charged him to tell no one. That's a instruction for that particular moment, not an instruction for all of us who have been cleaned. For our task as those who have been cleansed is to go and tell people, come and see. But for this moment, it's a very surprising reaction. It's one that makes sense in its historical setting because it is, Jesus did not want to become a circus rider. He didn't want circus crowds coming to just receive a miracle from him, and then they would not have any regard for his message. So he was very purposeful. Of course, the man couldn't keep it in. I guess the first thing he does after he gets cleansed is sins. That's interesting. And now, even more, the report about him went abroad. And maybe he told, maybe he didn't. Maybe people just saw the change. Maybe people saw the restoration. I don't know. But that command and surprising reaction of the Lord, don't tell anybody, just to make sure we all know today, that's not our command. Go tell. Come and see this man who told me everything I'd ever done and is compassionate and competent and cleansing. But then he says this amazing thing that's so rich in verse 14. He says, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. The giver of the law and the giver of sacrificial systems is now asking the leper to keep the law and to go and do what was required in the law. The priest in that moment, in these days, was sort of a health inspector. So the leper's cleansing, he could not be readmitted into the community until the priest declared him clean. And the way he declared him clean was by the appropriate offering and sacrifice. Does that sound like somebody you know? Named Jesus? We're not just forgiven. We're declared clean. Righteous. How? Well, Hebrews 7. You remember Hebrews 7, 26 through 28? Well, before that, listen to Leviticus 14. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, and then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar, and thus the priest shall make atonement for him and declare him what? Clean. Now go to Hebrews, chapter 7, 26 through 28. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all. When he offered up himself, for the law appoints men in their weaknesses high priest, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The one who tells him to go to the priest is the leper's priest, who would offer the final sacrifice, declare him clean, and sit down. Hebrews 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down. He did something priests never did, because it was never done. When he sat, it's finished. And the declaration on unclean lepers, full of sin like us, through his sacrifice is clean. I will. Clean. And then he retreats to pray, that he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus' power in his ministry is drawn from private communion with God in prayer. 9 times in the Gospel of Luke, you will find Jesus praying. 7 of those are only found in Luke. Luke's emphasis is for you to see Jesus praying, because in this gospel, you will see him praying. You will hear parables about prayer. You will have teaching on prayer. You'll have teaching on the wrong way to pray with the Pharisee and the sinner. It's the emphasis of Luke, that this gospel and this kingdom and this work of this kingdom comes through the necessity of prayer. And thus J.C. Ryle would say this: the cause of Christ does not need less working, but it does need among the workers more praying. That's Luke's point. And when you consider the touch of Jesus upon this leper, then consider this. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So how are we going to go out into this world where we're going to meet people who maybe don't know their condition yet, or they do and they feel their hopelessness and their outcast and their exclusion and their ostracization from families and self and God. How are we going to go out there and offer them a real hope of Jesus? It'll be through prayer. That'll be the first thing, not the last thing. And so the workers need more praying. I closed with this. In an interview with CNN, Vinicio reflected on his encounter with Pope Francis. Here's what he said. He didn't have any fear of my illness. He embraced me without speaking. I quivered. I felt great warmth. As I returned home, a load had been lifted. What Vinicio describes in a moment can be ours for all eternity. Our Savior has no fear of our illness of sin. He has come with compassion and power to transform all of our lives and free us from the heavy load of the leprosy of sin and the angst and the wounds of our heart. And so, hear me. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. Let's pray. Help us daily, always, to come before you with that great humble boldness of faith. If you will, you can. We thank you for your declaration of us as clean and righteous based on your sacrifice. Help us believe. Help us doubt no more. In Christ's name, amen.